It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
We just had our annual men's conference here at Greystone, and our guest speaker, Mike Lynch from North Star Church, talked about white flag moments and what to do in these moments. Let's talk about it.
What's that with DP? What's been going on?
I like the Air Force Ones, bro.
You like those?
Those are solid.
That was a gift from the church for my 20th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
Of course, Jolyn picked them out.
I had no doubt about that.
Those are Jordan Ones. Not Air Force.
My bad.
Come on, dude.
Hey, these are Jordan Ones. What do you got? What do you got going over there? Adidas.
These are the Ultra Boosts.
Okay. Yeah.
I like those. Those are good though. I know you. I knew you did not pick them out.
No. I'm looking pretty sharp today, aren't I? What you think?
I mean, out of all your outfits, that's one of them. It's definitely one of them.
So today is Jennifer's birthday.
Nice.
Yeah. So
happy birthday!
I'm taking her to Fogo de Chao for lunch.
Is she for lunch? First of all. Impressive move. Way cheaper.
Yeah.
It's like half the price, which is amazing. Is she worth the trip?
What?
No. Hold on. Just,
oh, my gosh.
Let me rephrase that, first lady.
You know Jennifer listens
is
to these.
Is she worth the money? Lindsay's not worth my money taking to Fogo de Chao.
Yeah, well,
like me and Nicholas and other people and his friends will go to Fogo de Chao. Lindsay's like, she goes and eats a salad. I'm like, bro, I'm not paying $40 for that salad. Like, eat the good stuff. Like, we're going to eat all this fancy crap. So, is she going to be worth the investment? Is she going to eat her money's worth? Is that a better way to say it?
I feel like this is one of those trap questions. Because if I, if I say Jennifer can put it down.
Then it's a bad thing?
Yeah.
I got you.
Let's just say.
I'm just saying, well,
it's a once a year special occasion.
So you should throw down.
We're going to Fogo.
And it should be a throwdown.
And we skip the salad bar. We're all meat.
Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about.
Jennifer's a meat eater. I mean, she likes the meat.
She's a carnivore. I like that.
And we're all beef there, too. Like, we're not eating the pork or the chicken.
What's your favorite one?
The special.
The house. The picanha?
Picanha.
The picanha. Picanha is by far the best.
Is my favorite. Bottom sirloin, top sirloin, picanha. And I keep it on green.
The filet mignon is pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas is easily the – Nicholas will eat them. He takes their money. He robs them.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's a full-grown man, but, like, for the last several years, it's been awesome.
I can see that. Yeah, I like the pain de queijo, the cheese bread.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Pain de what?
Pain de queijo.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Why did you say pain de queijo? Why didn't you just say the rolls?
Well, that's just what they call, you know.
That's not what they call it. I've been there a bunch. They don't call it that, actually.
They call it pain de queijo.
They don't say, do you want more pain de queijo? They say, do you want more rolls?
Hey, bro, I've been to Brazil, like, multiple times.
That's awesome. Congratulations. I've been to Fogo de Chao more than you have, okay?
You think so?
I've been at least 20 times.
Okay.
Okay, and I've never had them once ask me, do you want some pain de queijos? They say, would you like some more rolls?
So do you ever eat the plant? Is it plantains?
No, I don't eat the plantains.
Those things are nasty.
Just give me the pain de queijo.
And then the
cheesy bread is the best part, by the way.
The cheesy bread is so good. I like the Antarctica Guaraná.
What is that?
So it's a Brazilian soft drink.
Oh, no.
I know you don't drink soft drinks, but
no.
They say it's aphrodisiac.
Yeah, well, get some to Jennifer. Get her a couple of those on the date.
I'm definitely getting her some.
You're probably not eating tonight, but
some of that. Oh yeah, we're gonna skip dinner tonight.
That's how it usually works. Yeah. You go get huge.
We'll be filled up at the Fogo de Chao. So I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh boy! All right, we're getting out the gates quick. Let's go.
We're getting out quick.
What you got?
Greystone Men's Conference.
Yeah.
we've been planning this thing for months. And we were even trying to get, like, a guest, you know. And,
yeah.
And then week of, you're like, hey, I'm double booked.
Yep.
So, I mean, well, one, I mean, I understand how you could get double booked.
You've seen me schedule things.
I know how you schedule. Now, I don't know if I need to talk to Lindsay about this. But number two, even if you were double booked, why are you choosing South Dakota over Pastor Jay and Greystone Church?
I mean, it was. Oh, here's the thing. Here's what you got to know too. It's definitely something that was a big struggle in our household because Leah's championship game was also on Saturday.
Okay, basketball. So
when I got fired, let go. Sorry, Mom. when I got let go, Mom, they told me, or this guy called me. He was like, "Hey, man, I'm doing this men's summit, and I feel led to call you. I feel like you'd be really good at it." And he was like, "Would you be interested in doing it?" And at this point, I didn't have a bunch of speaking engagements, and so I was like, "Sure, yeah. I mean, something to do." Okay, so middle school basketball is never during the weekend. Never. Not once. Nicholas was a seventh grader, played as an eighth grader. He plays a seventh grader, plays an eighth grader. Leah played last year as a seventh grader. So 3 years in a row, we've never played on a weekend in our lives, ever. Playoffs, anything. It's always weekdays. So I'm like, all right, I'm safe. I won't miss any coaching opportunities because I'm their coach. But then I started talking, and we had figured out the championship game was on a Saturday. So now I was planning on staying or the championship game. I was planning on flying basically up and flying back, like really, really quickly, like morning of back. So basically what happened is my plans shifted and changed, and so I had to go actually on a Friday. By the way, coming home, my flight was at 4 o'clock. It got delayed 2 hours, and then I had to stay in South Dakota. I spent the night in South Dakota, so that was beautiful.
Serves you right.
Did you just say it serves you right? Yeah. All right, so listen, this is what we're going to learn today on Family Goals. It serves you right is something you say to your people, okay? That's the attitude we want. That's the posture we want you to take.
So did you miss Leah's game?
Yeah, I missed the game. We took care of business, though.
Did they win?
We were up 16 to nothing to start.
Okay.
Undefeated eighth grade season, baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was cool. Yeah. I've had all those. I've coached those girls since they were third grade. Like, all of her friends, like Avery and Callie and Leah and Lily and Elizabeth.
Well, didn't they beat the JV?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. I don't want to upset anybody.
Nobody listens to this podcast.
No, this is just us, right? This
it's
is
just me and you.
Well, then why are we worried about the first lady and her feelings? Huh? Nobody listens.
Well, you know, like Lindsay and Jennifer listen to it. No, we definitely missed you at the.
I got the notes
the
though.
Conference.
Got the notes. I heard it was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible, and it was a total God thing because week of we were like, what are we going to do instead of the podcast? And then we thought about doing a panel like we'd done that in the past.
Yeah,
but then. You know, one of the most powerful things with a women's conference were the testimonies, like people sharing their stories. And so we asked T.J. Scoggins to share his story.
I heard he was unbelievable.
It was incredible. I mean, he went from, so 5 years ago, he's passed out in a stolen car being taken to the police station. And now his life has completely changed. I mean, Jesus has changed his life. It is incredible. So I think it was so good for men to hear his story. And there were several people that were there who they had been in jail or they had been in prison or they had a kid or a sibling who was in jail or in prison. So I think...
I'm in that boat.
Are you?
Yeah, with my brother.
Yeah.
I mean, we've dealt with a lot of that stuff. So I really wanted him to go. I was hoping he would go. He didn't end up going. But that's what's cool and what people don't realize is you just... Like, your story is for his glory. And a lot of your stories that you think don't matter or... My background, I'm not good enough to tell this story. Like, dude, it makes a big difference. Not everybody relates to, you know, you. Not everybody's going to relate to me. But I think the more people you have that can share their story in different ways, it's super important.
That's one of the things I've been trying to do at church is in the middle of the sermon having a testimony. So that because when to your point, it's one thing for Pastor Jay to say it. It's one thing for the professional.
Yeah.
But when you hear somebody else's story.
And we've had some good ones in our church.
It's just so powerful.
Last week's was awesome. Whoever did the video too was phenomenal. Was that you, Woj?
Hey,
it was really good.
Wasn't that incredible?
Like the music behind it, the words on the screen, like it was dope. It was really dope. It looked professionally done. It didn't look like some of the scrub stuff we put out there all the time. Let's bring it back down to earth. I don't want to give Woj too many compliments.
Let's not even go there with the last couple of guests we've tried to get on the show.
Yeah.
And the technology issues.
You know, y'all, we're going to let y'all behind the curtain, okay? Family Goals, we are transparent, so we will do that. We've had two guests recently. We're not going to name any names that we can't even get them on the screen. Like, And Woj typically, you know, does the Woj thing and blames the other people for their internet connection or something like that. But you know what? We'll just keep swinging. Yeah. You know, we'll keep doing our job. We'll keep showing up.
We're trying to get some guests on because I feel like people are getting tired of me and you. We need to spice it up a little.
That's not abnormal in my household. or in my community. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the men's conference is pretty cool. Of course, we had the fun stuff like the axe throwing, the car show, the riding. You know, we had a mechanical bull.
I saw, which was super cool. Did you get on it?
I did not get on it.
Are you past the age to get on a mechanical bull now?
Pastor Jay is more concerned about not messing his back up for golf, okay. And so he didn't want to get on the mechanical bull.
So the answer is yes. You're past the age of
getting on mechanical bulls. I am old.
So are you officially to the age now when you fall, people are going to be like, oh, my God, are you okay? Like, because that's when you really know you're old, by the way, is like, when you fall and you're young, it's like, it's so funny. And then you get a little bit older, and you're like my buddy, he probably listens to the podcast, so I'm not going to name his name, Drew. And we were playing basketball, and we play old man basketball. And we've literally, we started old man basketball back. We started a while ago. Now we picked it back up. And this has nothing to do with basketball. Like, we pray before we play. Like, I'm literally like, listen, this is not competitive. This is us moving is winning, okay? And we're going to play basketball. And my buddy, like, I was dribbling, and he kind of fell, like, lost his balance a little bit and fell. And I remember vividly being in the gym playing with people. And when that happened, you were like, oh, and made fun of him. And every single person stopped and like, you all right, dude? Did you okay? Like, knee? Was it the knee? What was it? Like, and that's when I'm like, yeah, things have changed a little bit. Yeah. We're a smidge older when you're feeling that kind of way. But you're definitely in that category.
I'm not as old as your boy, Drew.
You're very much older.
I'm pretty much tip-top shape. So I'm not falling down and getting hurt now. Speaking of TJ, I don't know how personal I'm going to get here, but we're on the golf course the other day. And so the two guys I'm playing with, TJ yanks his left in the woods. The other guy I'm playing with actually hits his in the woods this way. I'm in the center of the fairway, right side
of
the fairway.
Okay.
But other times I'm in the woods. So anyway, TJ's fooling around down there. Ashley's fooling around. So I'm just kind of taking my practice swings.
Yeah.
And TJ's about to hit his third shot. I'm still waiting on him. Next thing you know, and TJ hits this wicked slice. So I'm on the right side of the fairway. He's like left side of the fairway.
Okay.
So I think I'm, you know.
You're fine.
I'm fine.
You hope.
Well, next thing I know, I hear this. He couldn't even get out four or Pastor Jay.
He just said,
He hits a line drive shank worm burner, tags me right in the bottom. I've got a bruise.
He got you in the butt cheek?
In the butt cheek.
That's amazing.
If it would have hit me in the head, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. If it would
have
hit me in the back,
if TJ just had a little better aim.
A little better aim. But I've shown people the picture, but I'm not sending it to anyone because we don't want this circulating.
No, you don't want to cause lust in women.
And I bruise like... It would not cause anybody less, believe me, my bottom. But I bruised like a peach. And I told them immediately, I said, this thing is going to be nasty.
That is awesome.
And
that's his best shot of the day for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you limp the rest of the round or are you good?
It
still hurts,
doesn't it? It only hurts when I sit down, really.
Oh, okay. Hey, all right, so I'm going to give you one quick story. I started my senior year of college is when I first swung a golf club, first time I ever played. And I went to the driving range, and you're just swinging as hard as you can, and like Happy Gilmore, and my buddy Jeremy Thomas, who played fullback at Georgia. Okay, he walks out in front to go get a ball at the range. Mm-hmm. So we're hitting, and Jeremy's cheap. He's cheap as crap. I appreciate that about Jeremy. Well, I'm not paying attention to Jeremy. So I'm sitting here and I'm swinging, and I'm swinging as hard as I can, hitting it. And
he's
walked out to the driving range to go pick up balls in front of him that he had duffed, you know, because he was like, I paid for those. I want to go hit him again. And literally, I smash one, and it goes back of the noggin.
Oh, my goodness.
J-Man goes down like a sack of potatoes.
I bet.
Like straight.
Did knock him out?
No, because he's too tough for that. But like straight down to a knee. Like. And he had a golf ball sized knot on the top of his head for football for the next like 3 weeks. I mean, what are you doing? You can't walk. I felt horrible, obviously, but like you just walked on the range. You can't keep walking. You can't walk out where all these hacks, especially me, are learning how to hit a golf ball. Man, I can't tell you how many Coach Hack can tell you, the golf coach over there at Georgia. I bet you I broke at least six driver heads. Like, he gave me the old golfer stuff to hit.
Yeah.
And I swing so hard and so violently, like, those things just would snap off. I mean, but that's probably, all right, we got our golf fix probably for the day. So that's story time.
The funny thing with TJ, the whole time with TJ, it was just funny the whole time because it just hit me in the perfect spot.
Yes.
And so we've been laughing about it.
Could have been a lot worse.
It could have been.
A lot worse.
Could have been bad. Now every time I play with TJ, Jennifer, it's like, just stay behind him. Just because you don't know what's going to happen.
Or stay on the left side.
So let's talk about the men's conference. Mike Lynch, one of my pastor friends, which we need to get him on the podcast, by the way.
Maybe. We'll see.
He wants you on his podcast, Lynch with a Leader. He's got some pretty big name people on there.
Lynch with a Leader.
Lynch with a Leader. He doesn't want me, but he definitely wants you. you're our celebrity. You're like our name.
So, anyway, do you have anything better to get to than talking about that?
So I want to talk about the men's conference, his message. He talked about finishing strong was the theme. So we talked about finishing strong in your faith, finishing strong in your marriage, finishing strong in your parenting. And Mike's a baseball guy, so he played baseball at Liberty. And
a great university.
So a lot of my pastor friends went to Liberty.
That's the best place that I've ever visited.
So
I've already been praying for my kids to go to Liberty. Yeah. I've already talked, my kids have Liberty shirts. Like, Nicholas, I'm like, if I could go anywhere in the country.
You're totally influencing
them. Well, I told him, I was like, if I could go any, if I could have gone anywhere for school, it would have been Liberty. He's like, you're telling me you wouldn't have gone to Georgia? I was like, dude, it would have helped me grow so much in my faith. Mm-hmm. I said it would have been awesome. So I'm working on that.
Is Liberty sponsoring this podcast? you're just giving free. So Mike's another Liberty guy. He played baseball. So he told this story. They were playing Virginia Tech freshman year. He's coming in out of the bullpen. First time to ever pitch in college, D1. Gets on the mound, strikes out the first guy. So he's feeling pretty good about himself. Next pitch, guy hits a dinger over the fence. Mm. So he's like, all right, well, I'm not going to throw that pitch again. No big deal. You know, he's like rubbing the ball. So he throws a different pitch, home run.
Nice.
Said, oh, surely, you know.
All right.
Next pitch, home run.
Oh, man, three? Three in the debut?
Three, yeah.
Back to back to back?
Back to back to back. And then the coach comes out, and he's like,
give me the ball.
Give me the ball. And he said goes and sits in the dugout, and his pitching coach or whoever it was like patting him on the leg, and he's like, no, worry about it, no big deal. And he asked this coach, like, well, did that ever happen to you? He's like, no.
Never seen that one before, bud.
I think Mike won the crowd over, like, immediately, just kind of telling
with the humility of that?
With the humility of the story, but his message was from Nehemiah, and he was talking about Nehemiah was the vision to go rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, like his calling to rebuild the wall. And he started off talking about how it was going great at first, but then he read the verse about the people began to complain. It says, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers were getting tired, and there was so much rubble to be moved. We were never able to build the wall by ourselves. And so he talked about how so many times we focus on the rubble and we don't focus on building the wall.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with me because it's just so easy to hear the complaining, hear the negativity, think about the bad things that are going on when there's like 1,000 good things going on. And so it really spoke to me to Don't worry about the rubble. Don't focus on the rubble.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. Let's keep building the wall. And so he's talking about really encouraging the guys. Whatever God's called you to build, stay on that wall and build that wall. So he's talking about building our marriages and parenting. And he talked about these white flag moments, that we all have these white flag moments where we wanna quit. Like, we kinda wanna wave the white flag and quit and come off the wall, so to speak. And he shared a personal story of when he thought about waving the white flag. So have you ever had any white flag moments?
I think, yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had white flag moments in my marriage. I mean, I had a white flag moment years and years ago, and we've talked about it before in the mm-hmm. past, but when it got hard, it got tough, and there was a lot of things that needed to change, and a lot of that had to do with me. We had a decision to make, and you talk about it all the time. We had a decision to make whether we're going to run towards God or away, and mm-hmm. You know, we chose to change our family habits and change the way we were pursuing God and the way we were pursuing life. And church became our place and became the staple. And, you know, it's a non-negotiable way. And so I think we committed to the church more than we ever have. And so I've definitely had those moments personally. And here's the thing. I think, like, all of us, Pastor Jay, me, we all have doubts. Like, we all have fear. Mm-hmm. That's not something that does it. Like, every person on this planet it's gonna exist in. Every single person. And when we get those moments, can we find enough people, too? And I love this. And I think I heard, I don't know where I heard this recently, but, like, hey, I don't have the faith to do this. Well, you can borrow some of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
I love that.
I don't have the faith to overcome this. Well, I got enough for both of us, and you can overcome mine. And I think that's the thing. Like, when I think about people that start complaining about their hands, I think, like, how awesome is it when people come beside them, like, hey, man, you're good. Like, you're doing a great job. And just encourage, inspire, motivate, keep them going, and keep them task-oriented and keep them focused on what they want to focus on. And I think that's when you continue to stack days and have success and live in the moment, which is hard for some people to do.
I think if you're running with the right people, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to need to pick them up, and yep. There's going to be times in life when they're going to pick you up. And I think you need to, and we talk about this a lot, surrounding yourself with the right group of people, but having the kind of people in your life that are going to pick you up.
Dang
when
right,
you're,
man.
When you're having these white flag moments. And
not
speak,
if, when.
Speak truth.
When you have those white, right? Not if. Like, not if it happens along the way, if I get tripped up. It's like you're going to be punched in the nose at some point.
I remember your white flag moment, the one you were referring to, and I remember us talking about
you helped
it,
us and you helped us through it.
It was it seems to me like it's interesting, these white flag moments can become these defining moments in life. So what was a bad thing, of course God used it for a good thing. Like, he can take something and turn it into a good. He can, you know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God. So it's like a wake-up call for you. I mean, you're 100%. You're like a completely different person now than you were then.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it had to do with that. And you're right, all things. And here's the thing. I think a lot of times in life, too, though, like, I think God has to, I don't think I'm saying this incorrectly. I think God has to take things away from us so we appreciate them more. Like, I think things have to go away, and we have to let things pass by, and we need second opportunities at things to go, yeah, I need to appreciate this a little bit more. Because I do. I think some things in our lives we look at and we take for granted. And some things in our lives become an idol, right? They become mm-hmm. something in our lives that we focus on that we become to expect. And it's something that's more important than God. And then it gets stripped away and you're like, okay, like, my marriage is not first. My relationship with God is first. My kids aren't first. My relationship with my wife is. You know, like, I think we get those moments where it gets taken away. And then when it comes back, man, how much more appreciative are you? Like, how much more thankful are you? Like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't out. It's supposed to be like this all the time. Like, it's supposed to. I thought it was always supposed to be good. Nah, bro. Like, there's going to be some suck, and that's okay. Yeah. Like, embrace the suck. That's what Dabo Swinney always says that. I love that. Embrace the suck. Like, embrace those moments where you know that God's refining you and teaching you something that you needed to learn. And this is the only way it was going to come.
Yeah, he mentioned these white flag moments. He said we give out and give up when we feel, and he mentioned three things. We give out and we give up when we feel overwhelmed. We give out and we give up when we feel alone. We give out and we give up when we feel fear. What do you think about those? Like, almost like the vulnerable moments.
Yeah, and I think when you're alone, you'll feel all of that more. I think if you're alone, you'll feel more fear. Like, if you're doing it alone and you don't have somebody to encourage you, somebody to talk to, somebody to, vent to, then mm-hmm. vent back to you, get information from, I think that's, but no, I mean, I think those are the things that paralyze us. And I love the book we're reading, Withdraw the Circle, and it talked about fear and anxiousness being a prayer opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not
like
a
prayer triggers.
That's a prayer trigger. Fear. I feel fear is a perfect opportunity to pray. Like, that is a moment to pray. Mm-hmm. When I feel anxious, that is a moment to pray. Like, those are perfect opportunities where if I can do that right now, right away, and I invite God into my worry, into my struggle, into my fear, into my anxiety, and I give it to Him, He'll take it from me. And
yeah,
that was a cool. I thought that was cool in the book when it said that.
When I thought about what we teach our kids is so applicable to us, but that was what we taught our kids. Like growing up, we ever always taught them like if you're ever afraid, pray. You know, like God is with you, and so we can apply it to our lives as well.
Man, I think I've grown so much over the last 10 years, 8 years too, because I have kids. Like, I mean, it's amazing how many times I've preached something to my kids and I'm like, yeah, you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally. I've been like, yeah, I don't do that. Like, but that's something that needs to be in my life too. And guess what? They need to see it. And so it makes me have to look. It's a mirror, you know, like a lot of times it's a mirror and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. What are you doing, bro? Nicholas made a smart aleck comment to his sister. Why would you do that? Oh, wait. Because daddy's always making smart aleck comments, right?
You're like, making smart aleck comments?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's interesting, man. It's such a real thing because you're getting real feedback as a parent right away. And, like, and again, I coach all these kids, and I've coached them growing up, and I coach them in high school now, and I'm like, I can usually get a pretty good idea of what their parents are like. It's not all the time, but most of the time.
Good or bad.
Yeah, good or bad. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously good with that. There's a lot of good with that, but there's also some situations you're like, man, like, listen to the negativity of that. And that negativity is coming from somewhere else, too. And how do we address that? But I think parenting is one of the greatest teachers, like, lessons in selfishness, lessons or how to not be selfish, lesson in humility, like, lessons in leadership. I mean, just all those things, you get smacked right in the face with it.
When you get married, your life is no longer your own, right? Because you're putting someone else above yourself. But then when you have kids, it's a complete game changer.
By the way, the people that, and these people crack me up, and this might hurt somebody's feelings, and that's okay. Like the people that say that are young and single or married, and they say, I'm so busy. We're like, bro, you don't,
they don't have
a
kids.
Clue. Like, what you're gonna learn. And listen, I did it. I remember my wife doing it. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. My wife was like, I'm so busy. Like she said, she talks about this now. And she was like, but I was caught up on all my shows. Like, I got all the shows in. Now, bro, if we can get a show a week, we're good. Like two shows, we're golden. Like,
yeah.
Our viewing time consists of, like, if I get Lindsay for 30, like, Blacklist came out, you know, have you seen that show?
I've seen the
amazing
whole
show, right?
Yeah,
it's amazing
show.
Okay, that came out how many years ago?
Like 15 years ago.
We ain't even close to finishing.
Yeah.
Because we get, like, I get 30 minutes of Lindsay Pollock before her mouth wide open, and I'm like, it's hilarious because it's funny because I'm like, babe, are you still in? And her eyes, like, I asked her the other night, I'm like, babe, are you still paying attention? Her eyes literally were closing like this and then would open back up like 3 seconds later. She's like, I'm just blinking. I'm like, that's the longest blink in history.
Yeah,
you just blinked for 13 seconds, babe. That's not a blink. Like, just go to bed. So, but yeah, we think we're so
Jennifer
so
always
busy.
Falls asleep on me. So we'll watch TV
yeah
as we're going to bed. And so I'll always do my hands like in front of her eyes.
I haven't done that yet. Like, it's like a movie take. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, are you, and she, you know, or I'll say, are you asleep? And she's like,
No,
I'm not asleep. Why are you always asking me? I'm like, well, most of the time when I ask you, you don't respond.
You just happen to respond this time.
Yeah, this is like one of the few times.
No, but when you're single or when you don't have kids yet, enjoy it. Enjoy those moments.
Well, I think if we didn't, Jennifer and I talk about this a lot of times, how our lives would be different if we didn't have kids.
Oh, yeah.
I think we would be a lot more selfish.
Bro.
And self-centered. Like if you don't have kids, and not, I don't want to talk bad about somebody who doesn't have kids.
No.
People may not have kids for whatever reason, but I just think we would be, so much would revolve around us and instead of, you know.
You kind of get what you want when you want how you want it because you schedule it, right? Like, and there's not a lot of things that come up, but listen, kids are the biggest blessings, you know, for multiple reasons. But, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things is just like, I have to do this right now. No matter how I feel. And there's just not a lot of things in this world where that happens anymore. Mm-hmm. You think about it, like, you kind of have the opportunity to say no or work around or, you know, text message and do this and do that, like things that are maybe not face-to-face and not complicated. And with a kid, you're like, wait a minute, they got to learn how to go business and that. Like, you got to learn how to do that in there. How do I do that? I don't know. Like, we got to figure it out. Okay. Like, for Nicholas, it was spicy pretzels. It was buffalo spicy pretzels. Like, that's what... Like learning how to potty train. That's what it was. Like,
oh, that's so shocking. Yeah. I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, go to business.
So potty training.
I mean, just
what
all
the spicy pretzels have to do with potty training.
That's what we bribed him with.
Oh.
Spicy pretzels.
If he goes potty, then he gets some spicy pretzels.
Yeah, I'm glad you're paying attention to while I'm talking. I appreciate that.
The line of thinking, I felt like I was talking to Wojak there for a second.
I mean, there's no doubt that following the thought train that goes in my brain, it goes here, here, here. So
I think also like parenting, having kids gives us a better understanding of our relationship with God and how
we're
how
children.
We relate to God and some of his thoughts on us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like I never understood why, like how could somebody do that to a baby and how could somebody be, you know, get so upset and so, and then you have yours and they won't stop crying and you completely get it, right? Like, that's another thing too is.
Yeah, before you have kids, you're like,
I would never do that.
Like that. I'd never do that.
I can't tell you how many things that I've said I would never do. I'm done saying I will never do that anymore. Like, I'm starting to
learn
that.
I'm
never going to say that again. Like, that's never going to happen. Like, you go through it and you go, mm-hmm. you don't judge things near as, it's just like anything else. Like when you have, you know, marriage issues, you're so much more sensitive to marriage mm-hmm. issues. And so use your experiences that God tells you is for good. And those experiences that he wants to teach you in something and those experiences that he's going to take you through, like we get to take those and use those in such a great way for his kingdom. Like I've seen that so many times, man. Like Tiffany and Drew Pilgrim, you know, in our small group, mm-hmm. they lost a child. Like, how many times I've seen them talk to people that have lost children. Like, yeah. God has given you an authority now, and an unbelievable authority to speak to people because of your hurt, because of your pain, that now you can come beside people, walk them through, that you wouldn't have otherwise. You don't feel it. You don't have that burn. You don't know what that heart felt like. Like, I did not know what it looked like to come beside somebody that was grieving. Like until Jeff.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that felt. My whole mindset has changed now when I hear people going through struggles. Like when I hear somebody losing somebody now, mm-hmm. it is totally different than it used to be. Yeah. Totally different. Like I want to plug in now. I want to be a part of the solution as opposed to, God, I hate that. Man, that's terrible. Because I do that every time. That's terrible news. Like mm-hmm. let's pray for him once. You know, I mean, one time and then you forget about it and your life moves on, you know?
A whole different story when you're walking with somebody through something, not just once, but next week, next month, next year. Like it's a whole different story. So he's talking about building the wall and what God's called you to. And he was really challenging the men to finish strong in their marriages, finish strong in the parenting, like putting the hard work in to finish strong. And he has like his two kids are adults now, and they're both married, and he kind of had that picture, like he's saying, I get to enjoy the wall, you know, because I stuck it out. Like, I didn't give up in those. But he brought up a point that whenever we're attempting to build something for God, or whenever we're attempting to build something significant, the enemy is going to attack. And it's interesting because the enemy uses people, just as God uses people for his purposes. Satan uses people for his purposes. And so he was using the story of Nehemiah. You know, the enemies were trying to distract them, you know, trying to frighten them, scare them, keep them from building the wall. They first kind of started off with trying to have meetings and distract them and all that, but then they started to attack them. And so then I love this. He says that when they were building the wall, the laborers, they had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. It's like they're doing the work.
Ding, ding, ding. Stab, kill. Yeah, sorry.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on just the enemy's going to attack what we're trying to build? Like Satan doesn't want us to build healthy marriages. He doesn't want us to be godly parents. Like, he doesn't want us to have Christ-centered families. Like, he wants to steal and kill and destroy. And so we're in a constant battle every day.
Constant back and forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we understand that, I think it's good. For example, I mean, being honest, like, just like prayer for me, I'll have thoughts. And I'm just like, where the heck did that come from? Like, how can I possibly think about that thought right now when I'm trying to pray for somebody? Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, get it out, like clear. Like you're not, I think the biggest thing is with the enemy is just telling you you're not good enough. I think that's the biggest lie that people, and I get it all the time in my head, man.
Like not good enough for what?
Anything. Like you don't do enough. You don't read enough. You don't serve enough. You don't do this enough. Like you're not enough. I think that voice is going to be
like guilt or shame or
both. And I think it's going to be different for people, but I think there's always going to be a voice that like, I can't do that. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not qualified to do that. No, you can. Like you absolutely can. And once we get like my biggest thing right now with me and my walk is like, I got to get that out of my head of like, you're not doing enough. Like, and then it holds you back from doing more, or it stops you from sharing. Like, no, I have a different gift than you. You have a different gift than me. Mm-hmm. Jesus talked about like giving talents, like the different talents to different people. That is something that we all have. We are all crafted uniquely, differently for his glory and for his purpose. And I think we look around sometimes and we see this and we see that and we're like, you know, I'm not doing enough. And you do what you can do, right? Like, start where you are, mm-hmm. use what you have, do what you can. Those are things you can control. Don't let those voices be a detriment that stop you from doing things in your life. When we all have those voices, we just got to make sure we understand that's not a God voice. Like, God's not going to tell us we're not enough.
Yeah.
Like, replace those with the good ones, right? Like, you are enough. Yeah. You are chosen.
Yeah, guilt. Satan uses guilt. He uses shame. And Satan wants to immobilize us. He wants to paralyze us from being used by God. And so even in the women's conference, Lauren, who goes to the Oconee campus, she was saying that Satan was getting in her head like, well, who are you to share your testimony? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but her testimony was so powerful.
So good.
And people needed to hear her story. People needed to hear TJ's story. People needed to hear Clancy's story about his son and the getting the car accident.
That was awesome, too.
I mean, that's so these powerful, powerful stories. So, yeah, I think he gave a couple things. When you have white flag moments, he said, remember the wall and not the rubble. So don't focus on the rubble. I think so many times I look back and think about the negative. Like there might be like 100 positives, but it's, for whatever reason, I tendency to look back to the one negative, like the rubble. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but he was telling me as a sidebar, we were just talking at our table, when you're on the mountaintop, you know, life is full of mountain peaks and valleys, right? He said, but when you're on the mountain and you look back over the horizon of your life, all you see is the peaks. You can't see the valleys. You just see and I love that. Like, I want to look back on, I mean, you learn from the valleys.
Yeah.
But let's look back and see all the peaks. Let's look back and see all these great things that God has done.
And you're saying you don't do that very much?
I don't. I tend to focus on the valleys. I tend to focus on the rubble. So that was my takeaway. Like, don't focus on the rubble. Remember the wall. And the other thing he said is fight for the vision. Fight for the vision that you started with. For whatever that vision is. You know, whether it's a godly marriage, grown kids. We talk about this a lot, but what do you want your kids to be like when they're 40? I mean, that's kind of the vision. You know, who are they going to be? What are the character qualities they're going to have? Like, that's kind of the vision.
And then you build the day-by-day habits
day-by-day habits. Yep. So,
thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. What white flag moments have you had in your life? What decisions did you make in those moments? Like Pastor Jay said, it's easy to focus on the rubble, the little things, the negativity or bad things in life. They take your focus off the wall. They take your focus off the purpose and the vision and what you're called to do. These white flag moments can be defining moments in your life, for the better or for the worse. What are you going to do when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling afraid? Are you going to wave that white flag and surrender to the enemy? Are you going to turn to God and finish strong? Give him your worries. The perfect time to pray is when you feel these things. Feeling fear is a prayer trigger. Feeling anxious is a prayer trigger. Go to your friends around you. Grab them by the shoulder. Lean on one another. Pray for one another. Remind each other of your mission in life. Fight for that vision that you started with. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.